Chad, what is it that kind of gets you jazzed about the space and product protection?
There's all sorts of warranty offerings that are out there that people just become accustomed to saying no to. And so retailers are wise when they look at it and they go, no, this is a product protection program, much more than a warranty. And the truth is, we cover more than warranties imply. So even legally, we're covering more than warranties. So we're not a warranty, we're a product protection program.
Welcome into another episode of the Independent Thinking Podcast. It's your host, Rob Stott. Who would have thought that talking about product protection plans and warranties could actually be a lot of fun? Well, to answer that question, I will tell you that Chad Burris, the Director of Product Protection for Nationwide Marketing Group, certainly is one of those people. That is his job. It's in his title. So, of course, he's going to think it's fun. But I actually was, looking forward to this conversation as well, because it's a chance to talk about a side of the business that, it's not necessarily thought of from the consumer's point of view in maybe, the most positive sense. It's something that you don't want to think about having to use a warranty. Usually when you think about warranties, you think about things breaking, which no one wants to think about their, expensive new refrigerator or breaking down, something going wrong with it, or having a problem with a sofa or a bed that you just spent thousands of dollars on. But it's a fact of products as in general and the retail space as it is, being able to sell these protection plans for products to protect consumers. It's all about getting those products fixed or serviced if something goes wrong, but also making sure that the consumer can have peace of mind with their purchase, that if anything goes wrong, that they have this plan to be there to back them up. So, a really interesting space once you dive into it. And of course, when you get an expert like Mr. Burris to hop on the podcast with you, it's a lot of fun to dive into it and get his perspective, not just on the plans, but what retailers can do to successfully position them, or how to talk to the consumer about them, and work them in a way where it's not something that just gets thought of at the last second, as the customer's at the counter ready to make their big purchase, that you just slap down the warranty and ask if they want it. But there's actually a way to go about selling it. So to get Chad's perspective on that was certainly very interesting and enlightening, and I think something a lot of retailers can learn about, if they haven't already thought about how to train staff and think about selling these product protection plans. So, and of course, the idea of COVID and the impact that's had on this space. COVID has touched every part of our industry and every part of our daily lives as it is. And, product protection plans are no different. So we get into that a little bit with Chad as well. So just a great conversation. One, I think you'll be able to find a lot of insights and learn a lot from. So let's just go ahead and dive into this Independent Thinking Podcast with Chad Burris. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast. And reading the headline, someone may not be super excited about this, but we're going to find a way. If there's a way to get excited about warranties, you've got the two right guys here to talk about it, because I believe it or not, I am not lying. You may think that I am Mr. Chad Burris, but I'm actually really excited to talk about warranties with you. And I've been, looking forward to getting you on and doing this. So appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Yeah. Glad to be here. And we can certainly make a topic that a lot of people are scared of.
Yeah,
into something that sounds fun and is comfortable to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. And for those who don't know, Mr. Chad Burris, our Director of Product Protection for Nationwide Marketing Group. Chad, what is it that kind of gets you jazzed about this space and warranties and product protection?
I think you can start by just looking at the title of my job description here. It's not Director of Warranties. It's Director of Product Protection. We've got a lot of dealers that refer to this as product performance guarantees. And that sound, that word, just resonates a little more with customers rather than the big bad thing label of warranty. Because everyone's been pitched warranties before. You've probably been bombarded with phone calls letting you know that your auto warranty is about to expire, right? Yeah. You've also been offered a warranty on a Blu-ray disc that you bought for your nephew. So there's all sorts of warranty offerings that are out there that people just become accustomed to saying no to. And so retailers are wise when they look at it and they go, now this is a product protection program, much more than a warranty. And the truth is, we cover more than warranties imply. So even legally, we're covering more than warranties. So we're not a warranty, we're a product protection program.
I like that spin on it. And certainly a different way of looking at it, because you're right. A lot of calls come through, a lot of people, like you say, get bombarded by these things. But at the end of the day, it's about protecting that major appliance, that piece of furniture, that major huge consumer electronic, the TV in your house and that sort of thing. So it's more of a peace of mind type of thing, as sure. opposed to, some sort of that negative connotation. And I want to talk about, I think we kind of have to address it, because I know it's something certainly that every retailer deals with when they're talking about, selling a warranty or a product protection plan to a customer. What it kind of has that, I think I mentioned it maybe before we came on, but that car salesman-y sort of back away from it from a customer's point of view. I don't know. It's not maybe a must have in their mind. What can a retailer do to shake that perspective? I mean, it could be as simple as taking the approach that you have to sort of how you look at your job title, but what from your perspective can they do to shake that, negative outlook that consumers typically have?
Yeah, we do a lot of different trainings for retailers. And one of the emphasis of every single one of those trainings is that these salespeople can sell warranties by just going, hey, would you like to add a warranty to that? And there will be customers that say yes. And we could talk about, some of the statistics behind that. So there's always going to be a customer that buys that. But if you want to get good at it, if you want to truly offer this, then what you do is you start selling this as a recommendation based on the product that they're buying and the customer story. So there's always a reason why that customer walks in your door. It's not because they just want to check out what's new in refrigeration these days. It's because they need a new refrigerator for one of two, maybe even three reasons of an upgrade or a breakdown. And so use that story. Why is that customer in your store? And then flip that reason into a personal recommendation as to why that customer should have a protection plan on their product. And that beats the statistics of just offering a warranty at the counter every single time.
Right. And that was kind of, segue, you almost asked my next question. Yeah. Sort of follow up to that is that, I think most the not so good retailers maybe or the ones that aren't necessarily the best trained at selling these product protection plans, it might be something where the sales associate is, it's something they think about when you get to the counter, when you're ready to make that purchase. Whereas it sounds like, the better approach is to kind of weave it throughout. So I mean, how does a retailer do that and sort of, taking the product protection plan and kind of weaving it throughout the conversation as opposed to just springing it at the last second?
But it does take some practice. And I think you've made a good point there, Rob. There's always going to be that last chance. Hey, do you want to add it? And here's where we run into a lot of no's, where we could have received yeses if we've talked about it throughout the process. I mean, think of it this way, Rob. Let's say you and your wife go buy a new dishwasher next week. And you say, I want to spend $450. That's my budget on a dishwasher. And you go in there and you find the $450 unit, but your wife's looking at the one that's $550, which has the nice new features, the beautiful little chimes, the excellent cycles that she really wants. So you stretch your budget a little bit, you get the $550, all right? $550 plus tax, plus delivery. Salesperson does his job and says, hey, we need installation and this type of a hose versus this type of a hose. All of a sudden, Rob, you're up to $650. And this is before you've ever even been mentioned a warranty. And so if you're at the counter at that $650 price tag, when you only intended to spend $450 all in, and then they go, would you like to add the $130 protection? They could say it with as much empathy as possible, but you've already gone and busted your budget on everything else. You're going to say no, even if it's something that you would be naturally inclined to add. And so, you made a great point. You got to weave it into the conversation. And I think that plays an impact into the budgeting of it. And we can even turn this into a big positive talking point if you want. You can say, hey, Rob, I know you came in here on a $450 budget, but you're getting your wife the nicer unit with $550 worth of features and benefits. And this protection plan is going to help cover those features and benefits. So not only will it cover any major breakdown, but if any of these features fail to perform, we're going to make sure that it gets back up to operating standard, because you're buying those features and you're buying a unit. So let's make sure that a protection plan covers both of those facets of it. And that, to me, would sell my wife, it would sell me, and it would make me move my budget number to include a warranty versus exclude it. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And if the wife, first of all, if the wife's sold on it, then you know you're sold on it. You have no choice at that
point.
That's
the truth. Yeah.
So if you're the real, really good retail salesperson, you know who to go after to get that set, make sure that gets included in the final price there at the counter. But is there ever, I guess timing wise, it feels like it's not sort of a one size fits all, as far as product protection plans go. And, maybe that answers my next question, but a right and wrong timing of when to pitch it. Is it really figuring out what that customer's in there for, and why they're in there? Or is it, something that, as we've kind of been talking about it, you got to get it into the conversation at a certain point to sort of increase your chances of success with trying to pitch this?
Yeah, I think there's an art to it. And timing does matter, and it probably will change based on your level of rapport with a customer. And it'll change based on product too. I mean, a refrigerator that goes out has a little bit more of a fear urgency factor that you can definitely use to your advantage when offering a protection plan. But if we flip the script and we start talking about furniture, Rob, it's a whole different thing. You buy a refrigerator, you buy it to keep food cold and you expect it to work 100% of the time. But when you buy a sofa, let's just stop and think about the sofa purchase by itself. A sofa is where life happens, yeah. Right?
Yep.
It's where, I know you recently had a baby, congratulations, but it's where you will sit and hold that baby in the middle of the night, watch a TV show and try and sleep.
Have you been over our house?
I know, right? It's where you will have that baby sit on the floor and you'll sit there and watch him open his first or his one-year-old birthday presents and his five-year-old birthday presents and lay on the couch under a blanket when he's sick and misses school and watches movies all day with you and things like that. So buying a sofa is so much more of an emotional decision, and we would be remiss if we didn't use that, and not to take advantage of customers, I don't want to say that, but to use that to sell the value of a protection plan. Like, we're not covering a piece of furniture, we're covering where life is going to happen. And you're spending this money, you took a long time to decide on a sofa, as most people do. The buying process is a lot longer for furniture. So it's much more emotional and heartfelt. And if you use those reasons why that customer should buy a protection plan on their sofa, I think you do start with timing and weaving those things in all along. And a good salesperson's figuring out how that person's going to use the sofa, how they're, why they're replacing their old one, all these different reasons. You use those reasons, and it starts early. But I think the final close here, Rob, and I'll answer your question very long-windedly. The final close is if a salesperson wraps it up in a bow and says, "Hey, Mr. Customer, because you told me that you're going to use your sofa refrigerator this way, and you're replacing it here, and this is the kind of experience that you've had in the past, this is the kind of experience you're looking for, these are the features you're buying today, that's why I think a protection plan makes sense." And then you ask them if they agree with you. And it turns a whole lot, the auto dial, auto warranty call into something a lot more personal.
Right, absolutely. And you talking about differences has me thinking about something I want to ask, but I want to get one more question before we kind of transition to that. And that's, is there ever a time where a warranty doesn't make sense, especially in our space?
Sure. I mean, being completely honest, I don't buy warranties on every single thing. If I go buy a Blu-ray player, I'm not going to buy a warranty on it. Buy my kid a video game system for Christmas, I'm not going to buy a warranty on it. But I know I have some insider information as to how products perform. And so I'd definitely say everyone should be buying a protection plan on a refrigerator. Everyone, right? The dishwasher, you should buy it on a dishwasher. You should buy it on a washing machine, because you're combining three elements, right? Heat, movement, and water. add in electricity. And those things just don't always mix, and they're meant to mix and work 24/7 in a refrigerator. So buy a protection plan on it. Make sure you're going to cover yourself for that. So where it doesn't make sense, I think some of the smaller ticket items. I don't know that I would buy a warranty on a KitchenAid standing mixer. And I know we have a lot of retailers that do it. But here's what's great about our product. Is just because I wouldn't buy it, that doesn't mean another customer agrees with me in that. So it's critical to offer it on every single point. And I use this example in furniture stores, Rob. There'd be a lot of furniture retailers right now have a red sofa on their show floor right now. But I would wager that most people wouldn't pick that red sofa to go in their living room. But if somebody bebops in the front door, ding-a-ling, and says, hey, I'm looking for a red sofa, guess what that salesperson's going to do? They're going to sell them that red sofa, right? So you got to remove your own personal persuasions from it.
Yep.
And follow that customer journey. What's their story? Why did they want that red sofa?
So that's kind of an interesting way of thinking about it too, is that, I feel like a lot of this space is the retailer having to push and talk and weave it in. But there are times where, the customer comes in, if maybe it's because of a bad experience that they had with an appliance or piece of furniture, and that warranty is actually going to, in turn sell itself because of that experience and the customer not wanting to have to go through the distress purchase that they're mm-hmm. in the process of making or something along those lines.
Another spot, that's a perfect point. Another spot along those lines is when a consumer comes in and uses our Wells Fargo or Synchrony financing. Some use their money to be smarter that way, take advantage of the 0%. Other people need payment plans, right? They're in a more emergency situation where they weren't expecting to replace whatever appliance. And so if you're paying for 18 months or 24 months or even 12 months on a machine, it makes a whole lot of sense to add a protection plan in there that can be financed in that payment. And then if something terrible happens and you've got an 18 months financing on a refrigerator and in month 14, it goes out, my goodness, you're paying for a refrigerator that's broken. So it makes a whole lot of sense to add into any sort of a financing purchase too.
No, it certainly does. And now to go back to, you a little bit ago talked about the differences between, why someone would, for a refrigerator versus a sofa and kind of how you position it. How about the specifics of, warranties and protection plans when it comes to those products? Is there a lot of difference between, the way protection plans are set up for a piece of furniture as opposed to a home appliance or, a refrigerator or a washing machine, that type of thing?
Yeah, they're very different, and so different, in fact, that if we've got a member, a retailer who sells only appliances and then hears about our furniture warranty plan, they think it's an alien concept, right? Or if we have an appliance salesperson that comes into a store as a new hire, and this store sells appliances and furniture and bedding. And so now they've got to learn two sides of it. The biggest call outs, Rob, is going to be accidental damage. Right, our appliance protection plans are functional, mechanical, electrical, but they're not going to cover the cosmetic scratches and dings. But a sofa, recliner, love seat, those are all heavily centered on stains and accidental rips and tears and pet damage and things like that. So, a big difference in coverages. And then appliances, you've got the safety of the manufacturer's warranty in there, which covers most of the breakdowns. We do step in and cover some things like power surge and food loss in the first year that a manufacturer wouldn't cover for an appliance. But for furniture, they still have a craftsmanship warranty, but they don't cover accidents through the manufacturer warranty. So you buy that brand new sofa, bring it home, and your brand new baby spits up on it at the first week, that's going to be covered under a protection plan. We're going to get that stain cleaned for you. But if it spits up on your new range, we're not going to cover
you. That's you'd be surprised. I think we may have already experienced that. So good to know that it won't be covered by those protection plans. No, but and I know too. Something that we had recently. This is something down the line potentially for Nationwide. But there's also the way of approaching these warranties where they're geared. I know they're sold in sort of time frames. So I want to kind of ask you about the idea of re-upping. Like what's when a warranty is set to expire, you know, what, you know, is it on the retailer to consider that, or, you know, how does that sort of work as far as, and then I guess even too, what's like the success rate of a retailer getting, or, you know, the warranty company getting someone to re-up on those warranties as they are set to expire?
Well, you raise a great talking point and a good question. It's not always up to a retailer to re-up. There's a lot of workings behind the scenes of a warranty that I don't think a lot of people know about or even want to know about, maybe. but a big part of that is an insurance company willing to take on the risk,
right,
of insuring a used product.
Which, you know, thinking these products have made it through the life of a warranty, you're talking about wear and tear that's been on the product, so risk certainly goes higher as you look into these situations.
And, you know, these insurance companies, these warranty companies that are out there today, they're not dumb. They do have some data behind when a product breaks and how likely it is to break, if it's already broken before, and metrics like that that they look at. So they're, you know, we are always looking to develop a renewal program that we can offer for our retailers to use. Currently today, there is none. We had some insurance companies pull out and say they're not willing to take on that risk. So the group is actively looking to reestablish that. I can tell you it's a 2021 initiative for us. But with furniture, it's pretty much a lost cause, because what you're doing with, if you're reinsuring a five-year-old piece of furniture, is you're buying a claim. About every piece of furniture after 5 years has some sort of a stain,
right,
on it. And so, sure, I'll take that extra year of coverage and then 5 days later call in all the claims.
Right.
So probably not going to happen with furniture, but definitely something we're working towards on the appliance and electronic side.
Well, and that's a nice segue too. You know, you mentioned initiatives and things like that. I know there's a lot that you're doing from the product protection side, and, you know, working with a lot of great partners and pulling together a lot of great programs. You know, as you're building those, what is it that you look for, you know, on behalf of the retailer to make sure they're getting the best access to some of the best programs, you know, as you're looking at, you know, not necessarily who or, you know, what you're working with, but, you know, what's important to you as you're building out these programs for nationwide dealers?
Well, you're going to make me brag a little bit on my providers.
That's the point. Nah.
Right now, we've got a provider with the Epic Protect program. Company that backs it is called Centricity. And 3 years ago, our team did an RFP, and we put out a big request to the whole warranty industry. And we had some big, big, big players. We had the guys who do, you know, Walmart and Best Buy and Lowe's and Home Depot. They're all in our little nationwide Memphis office, desperately pitching to create a program with us. And it was neat. It was a great learning experience. We got to meet a whole lot of interesting people. But the biggest part of that is it helped us learn exactly what we want. And what we want is the best, easiest, most seamless process for a retailer. Because warranties are unhappy things,
yeah,
when they go bad. They really are. Because a retailer right now today is selling a promise that they can't even fully uphold by themselves. They're relying on a third party to help them uphold that, who's also relying on a third party servicer to uphold that too. So there's a lot of things that we wanted to wrap up and tie up into a bow and make this a dealer friendly program. And Rob, I will never sit here and tell you that everything's going to be perfect. It won't be. We're going to have times where we got to jump in and mediate between a customer and a dealer and a warranty company and the insurance company. And that's our job. That's what we do. But, you know, if I'm getting the chance to brag on our programs on the appliance side, I'll do it by saying that, hey, we've got full value limit of liability. That may mean nothing to most people, but what it means to a customer who has, a refrigerator that's had two claims prior, and now they're on their third breakdown, and you're already frustrated. You're mad at the world for selling you that refrigerator, and the servicer deems it unrepairable. What we offer now that the industry outside of Nationwide Group does not is the full value limit liability coverage, which means that we are going to pay full replacement value for that customer, regardless of previous claims paid. I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but Rob, if your mom has a $2,000 refrigerator and she's had $700 of work done on it Now she's only got $1,300 left of coverage, and she has to get a new one, and she gets a $1,300 check instead of a $2,000 check to go buy that refrigerator.
Right.
Is she happy? Are you happy? Are vendors happy? The answer is no.
Right.
So we decided to eliminate that.
Right. And ultimately, you mentioned it sort of at the top there, describing that, you know, unfortunately, in the case of a situation going bad, that comes back on the retailer, which mm-hmm. then that's a customer then who, you know, is in a situation where they may be looking, you know, not to spend that $2,000 back with that retailer. So I know there's a lot of, the reputation at stake too with some of these things. So that's, I know, important as you're going out and looking for, these partners and kind of the programs you're pulling together for sure.
Yep. And on the furniture side, not to be excluded, we led the way, the buying groups led the way in including pet damage coverage on the furniture protection plan. So we've been copied a lot. There's been a lot of copycats, imitators of that coverage since then. But the fact that we've been doing it longer, we know the cost of that. We know the increase in attachment rate in that. So benefits to selling a group program do exist, believe it or not.
No, that is awesome. And I know I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, you know, we're sitting here in December. It's been about 10 months of sitting at home and working under some unique circumstances. I feel like every part of this industry has been touched. Every part, you know, every part of life has been touched by COVID and kind of this, what we've been living through with this pandemic. And I imagine the product protection and warranty space is not limited in sort of how, you know, it's been impacted as well. So I'm curious to know, you know, what those impacts have been and sort of, you know, how you're approaching them and tackling them.
It's been an interesting saga to watch for sure, because we all feared the worst, I think, back in April and May. We all wondered what was going to happen. But then to see our retailers pull through and sell more than ever
yeah.
has been such a boost to confidence. What we've noticed, you know, we went back and compared studies of how consumers view risk and looked at it kind of prior to COVID. And there's basically three ways. There's the people that take on the risk. Sure, if it breaks, I've got the money to fix it, or I'll try and fix it myself. I don't need a warranty.
There's people, no. I hate to admit to be that guy, but that's me most of the time.
it's a large chunk of the population. It really
and
is.
It's not the money. That's for sure. I'll tell you that much. But it's certainly the guy. I like to get the hands dirty. I don't know what it is. I like a little bit of a grease monkey in that way. I like to try to fix things.
There's nothing in the world wrong with that. I wonder what your wife would say about that.
Yeah, right. That's when the arguments happen in the house. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
There's another subset of customers that are risk averse. Oh my gosh, please. I don't want to take on any extra risk. Yes, I will buy that warranty so that I'm covered. I have that peace of mind and protection over me. And then probably the largest swath of customers is going to be what we call evaluators. And that's the ones that probably where you and I truly lie. And that's, does it make sense for this purchase?
Right.
And so there was, you know, a distribution of those customers, and what we've noticed has maybe changed, and we're still waiting for some hard data to come back, but anecdotally, and we've heard this a lot from our retailers, is those risk-seeking customers who now have had to go through COVID and maybe worried about their job, worried about their house payment, worried about their health, and all of a sudden, there's more of a reason, a draw to add coverage and protect yourself from risk in areas that you can. And a warranty is a pretty good guarantee that, hey, if anything happens in the next 5 years, it's going to get fixed and it's going to cost me nothing to do it. And so we've seen customers and retailers that have sold to these customers who normally said no, now they're starting to say yes a little bit more. And it would be really wise of me to have, you know, all this data that we have collected to back it up, but it's pretty early in the process. We think this mentality may last a while, and that it only serves to reinforce what we've been saying all along, and that you've got to offer this protection plan to every customer.
Right.
You just don't know where they stand when they walk in your door.
Well, I'd be interested to, there may not be necessarily some hard data that you have on this, but I'm curious to know if you've heard, just in being in touch with the space. I think one of the things that comes to mind over this time, you know, as people have been staying home and, you know, especially in the home appliance space, we know that we anticipate, if it hasn't happened already, the replacement cycle kind of picking up because people are, you know, cooking three meals a day, and appliances certainly having a lot more stress on them. Is there any impact on, you know, the cost of warranties or product protection plans as a result of, you know, all this increased use? And in turn, I mean, the risk for the companies backing these programs certainly has to be going up during this time. So is there any impact from that perspective on, I guess it's specifically to the appliance side, but it could be, I mean, people are sleeping, sitting on their couches more, working from their beds more. So furniture, I'm sure, is impacted as well.
I would almost argue that furniture is probably more so, because that sofa that was not being used for eight yeah. hours during the day is all of a sudden used, eaten on, drank coffee on yeah. in the morning, where normally that was on your ride to work. So yes, on the furniture side, we have seen more claims come in. And, you know, we help our vendors monitor that. The insurance companies monitor that. And there is probably going to be a service labor rate increase that we've noticed over the past few months, where a servicer can say, hey, look, customers don't want me in their home. I don't want to be in a customer's home, but if you pay me a little bit more, I will be. And that is direct to customer, that's in manufacturer warranty, and it's in third party warranty period as well. So there has been a cost increase to doing business. And one of the things that we want to be proactive with as a group and influence what we can influence is be proactive with those rate increases. Because the last thing we want to do, Rob, is to announce to our retailers that, hey, we've got a 20% rate increase coming.
Right.
And so we may make it more of a bite-sized, hey, here's a 2% because service has gone up X amount, 2% increase to cost this year. We may do it again in 18 months. We may do it again in 3 years, who knows? But more bite-sized, palatable rate increases that adjust to the market. The cost of appliances is going up. Raw materials yeah. is going up. So yeah. as those costs rise, so does the cost to replace and repair a lot of those items. So we're going to follow the industry in that, but we're going to make it as easy to handle as possible for our programs.
I think certainly understandable, and certainly something I'm sure, it's not no big secret. These things. So this is COVID, right? This is what we're living through, and the impact it's having. So it's like I said, it's touching every part of this industry and every part of daily life. So. No, but I think we've succeeded in making product protection fun to talk about. I've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I haven't been bored.
This half hour flew by pretty quick. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, has it really been a half hour? And we managed to do it. So
I tell you what, Rob, if people have listened to it this long, I would also argue that they probably thought it was worthwhile too. So
I hope so. I hope so. No, but Mr. Burris, I appreciate it. I know we're both crunched. We're talking during, you know, December, the final month of the year here, where we got the holidays and everything else happening, and a lot of stuff going on. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes and chatting with us about, you know, a space that I know is certainly near and dear to your heart and your obviously your title, your job title. So I thank you for spending some time with us.
Thanks a bunch, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
You got it. All right. And a huge thanks again to Chad for taking time out of his day and sitting down and talking about, a topic, like I said at the top, is one that is very near and dear to him. It's certainly, you know, being a part of his title, it's something that he thinks about every day. So part of his job description. So, unique opportunity to be able to sit down with him and really dive into this space and learn the nitty gritty of product protection plans. So certainly look forward to getting him back on and catching up down the road here. So, but as always, appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.